Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. I want to invite you to come back tonight. We have, I just noticed something, Brother Mike. You got kicked out of your corner, didn't you, buddy? Amen. Hey, Brother Mike, you can come up here with me and Brother Gail. There's all kinds of room up here, brother. Amen. I'm tickled to death sometimes. Amen. Just see how the Lord works. Amen. It's good, good. Good to know him, good to serve him in these days. Revelation chapter number 3. I want you to come back tonight. I have a letter that I want to share with you that I received from Brother Bob Sanders concerning a missionary and a work that's going on. And I'll have a little bit more to say about that tonight. Brother Rose was telling me about a missionary that he'd like for us to consider. We're going to be contacting him. And I'm glad, listen, there's still places in the world where the gospel's welcome. There's still places in the world where God is working, amen, on behalf of mankind. And I appreciate that. We're going to, it might seem like an unusual kind of 4th of July message, but I think it's right on target. When I got done studying and think about it, I believe the Lord will help us today. The Bible said in verse 14 of Revelation, chapter number 3, talking today about the church of the Laodiceans. The Bible said, unto the church, or to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write. That's where these messages come from. We preached a series of messages entitled John Saul. And then we started on a series of messages entitled John Wrote. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. If correctly read, that's verse 14 through 22 in Revelation chapter 3. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful this morning for the opportunity that we have to read the Bible, to preach the Bible. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us today not just to be, Lord, hearers of the word, but doers of the word of God. I pray, Lord, this morning for that individual that doesn't know you, this might be the day, our Lord, when they would come to that personal realization that they need the Lord. I praise you, Lord, for what you've been doing. God, I praise you, Lord, that you're still saving. I praise you, Lord, that you're still, Lord, comforting your people. And God, I pray today that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to go down through some things. I want you to bear with me today. I've got a long way to go. And sometimes I feel like the time is short to get there. But we want to look at the church of the Laodiceans. There are two churches in the seven churches of Asia, Smyrna and Philadelphia, that God said nothing negative about. Now, without getting ahead of myself, let me say about the church at Laodicea, he says nothing positive. Not one thing. You think about that. Think about being called a church, and our Lord has not one thing positive to say about that church. That's strong, isn't it? At Ephesus, They were strong doctrinally, but they had left their first love. At Pergamos, they had not denied the faith, but they were tolerating sin. At Thyatira, there were some good things going on, but all-out compromise with evil had taken over, and the majority of the church seemed to be involved. At Sardis, there was only a few genuine believers. At church, they had a name that they were alive, but in reality, they were dead. Now we come to the church, at the last in the list of the seven churches of Asia, Laodicea. It's important to think about this, but Jesus does not say one thing positive about them. And I hesitated, and I looked, and I researched, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I've already preempted it a little bit earlier in the service, but I believe we're looking at a group of people that are religious but lost. They're naked, they're blind, they're poor, they're miserable. You never hear those terms applied to God's people. Amen. They say they're increased with goods and have need of nothing. And I'll give you some reasons why that I believe that about this group of people. The city was founded by Antiochus II about 253 B.C. It was named after his wife, Laodice. And Laodicea was destroyed by an earthquake in 61 A.D. The city was so wealthy and so self-sufficient that they rebuilt their city with their own resources, even refusing the offer of aid from Caesar. Think about that. That's how wealthy they were, how well off they were. There was a problem in Laodicea, and that problem was there was no ready source of water in the city. I need you to stay with me through the message this morning, because this, I believe, is the reason Jesus is going to address them the way that he is about lukewarmness. Water in the city of Laodicea had to be carried. I believe it was 6 miles to the north, Hierapolis, A-P-O-L-I-S, Hierapolis. There were hot springs, and water was put into aqueducts. Aqueducts were made out of stone. They were generally lifted above the terrain, and they carried the water 6 miles, hot water, hot springs, the water coming out of there, to Laodicea. And then 10 miles to the east was Colossae. And there, cold water originated and was carried to the city of Laodicea in these aqueducts. For lack of a better way to put it, it was like a huge rock channel that was elevated above the earth. And it would have underneath, it would have arches. I've actually seen these in Colossae. There's remains. And when I visited Jerusalem, I actually got to see the remains. And it would remind you of some of our modern bridges where there's a big arch, and then there's a pillar, there's a big arch, then there's a pillar. And up on top is a huge aqueduct that's carrying water. And we'll have more to say about that as we proceed in the message. There's something I want to bring out that I believe is interesting. The Bible said here, it's the church of the Laodiceans. Go back with me, if you will, to chapter 2 and verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now, I want you to see something here. It didn't say it was the church of the Ephesians. It said it was the church of Ephesus. What God was telling us was there's a church that's located in Ephesus. If you drop down to verse 8, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. Do you see that right there? God's given us the location of the church that he's addressing. It's in Smyrna. And go to verse 12, the angel of the church in Pergamos again. And verse number 18, the angel of the church in Thyatira again. You come on down here at verse number 1 of chapter number 3 to the angel of the church in Sardis. And then you got in verse 7, the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Listen to me. Listen, if I'm wrong, I'll stand before God with it. But I believe God is telling us something, even in this first statement about the church of the Laodiceans. It was their church. They were running it. They were in charge of it. I want to stop and say something about our church here. It's not mine. It's not yours. Blessed be God. It belongs to him. He's the one that bought it and paid for it with his own precious blood. Amen. Oh, beloved, it said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. It was theirs. They were running the show. They didn't need any outside help. Honey, I'll tell you something right now. If we ever get to the place where we say we don't need help, we're in trouble. Amen. We need help that comes from above. Our country's in trouble because it does not recognize it needs help that comes from above. A church will be in trouble when it begins to think it does not need that help. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Beloved, listen, I never had looked at that as a proof text before, but Jesus is the Creator. In the beginning, amen, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. You say, preacher, you don't believe Jesus came on the scene there in Bethlehem? No. As far as his human form, he came on the scene there. But honey, he always has been. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, well, how do you know that's the beginning of the creation of God? How do you know that's Jesus? Look at verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. This is none other than the Lord Jesus that's addressing this church. And so we see the church of the Laodiceans. I want us to look quickly at the condition of the church of the Laodiceans. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I want to read something this morning. And I don't do this a lot, but this is an excerpt from a man by the name of John MacArthur. There's no preacher going to agree with everything that another preacher said. Amen. And he has said some things in the past that I definitely do not agree with. But that's all right. I'm able to take and glean. I don't have to throw it all in the garbage can because I don't agree with all of it. Amen. And so I want to read an excerpt from a message by John MacArthur. One of the remarkable sidelights in the staggering political changes in Eastern Europe is the fact of the vibrant Christianity that has emerged in the midst of suffering, persecution, atheism, even of these communist-dominated countries. By contrast, in free Europe, where there had been prosperity and democracy, the church is almost completely dead. The church has ceased to have any impact on society. Atheism and humanism have taken over. Government and public policy is governed almost totally by philosophies that are anti-biblical and even intolerant of the truth of the Scripture. If you look at the U.S., you find much of the same thing. Government and the media, which affects the thinking of so much of America, are for the most part liberal and intolerant of Christianity. Leadership in both Europe and the United States are working for a one-world government, while the populace is preoccupied with their comfort and pleasure and their good life. The moral climate or condition of both free Europe and the United States is rotten to the core. According to a number of polls, if you compare the values, priorities, practices, and pursuits of professing Christians and non-Christians alike, you will find very little difference on the whole. My friend, listen, much of free Europe and all of America, listen carefully. This fits perfect with this precious day that we celebrate. Much of free Europe and all of America owe their freedom, their prosperity, and blessings to the preaching of the Word of God, to the Reformation in Europe, to the ministries of men like Wesley, George Whitefield, and Jonathan Edwards in America. Honey, we're great because God made us a great nation. When we forsake the God of heaven, beloved, we're headed down. And by the way, I believe we're headed that way. Amen. There's something to learn from the church at Laodicea. The church that of the Laodiceans that were so self-sufficient and did not need anything. Now, what caused the condition? We see the condition. The condition is lukewarmness. God said it made him sick. You know, Brother Mays preached years ago. I heard him preaching about Laodicea. And he made mention of his own beverages. He said, if I'm going to drink iced tea, I want iced tea. I want it cold. He said, if I'm going to drink coffee,
I want my coffee hot. Amen. Now, this generation don't know what hot coffee is. Say amen right there. I'm talking about a generation, go back to my grandpa, honey, where it was so hot, it would burn a blister on your lips. Amen. They had to just tilt the cup a little bit and let some go in the saucer and let it warm up. I mean, cool off just a little bit before you can even get it in your mouth and enjoy it. But I want you to know this. God said, because you're lukewarm. He said, I would that you were cold, or I would that you were hot. But he said, because you're lukewarm, he said, you make me sick, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Beloved, but listen, that generation that Jesus will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. I believe that's what's being represented in this text. It's a group of people that have them something called a church. Looks like a church, but it's nothing more than a club. They don't need God. They don't need God's Holy Ghost. They don't need God's Holy Word. And they're self-sufficient in their own way. And they make God sick. Now watch this. We see the cause of the condition. Remember, as I opened up about the aqueducts, the hot water from the springs in Hierapolis, and then the cold water that was coming from the east, from the springs in Colossae, that were being piped in to this place called Laodicea. Now let me ask you a question. How many believes that the hot water that started out hot made it to the city hot? You know what happened? It cooled off by the time it got to the city, and it became lukewarm. It's no wonder that our Lord is addressing this church the way that he is. What happened to the cold water that started out there in Colossae and got down there to the church here, or the church of the Laodiceans? I tell you what happened. It became lukewarm and tepid as well. Amen. There was a lukewarmness because of a couple of things. What causes the condition that's going on here? I want to give you this. That aqueduct is a man-made water supply. It conveys water from the source, usually from springs or rivers, to the customers, usually residents and public structures. The name is based on the combination of Latin words, aqua meaning water, and ducere meaning channel or pipe. The cold water was coming from Colossae, at 10 miles to the east, the hot water from Hierapolis, 6 miles to the north. And yet it was lukewarm by the time it got down to Laodicea. You say, preacher, what happened? A couple of things. Listen, God's sounding a warning right here to us. What caused it? Number one, this is what the Lord put in my heart as I meditated on this message, the distance. Beloved, listen, when there's a distance between you and the source, there will be a lukewarmness. I tell you, I went back, Brother Ralph, to when I first came here, and God gave me a message entitled, Keep the Fire Burning. I tell you how you keep the fire burning. I tell you how you stay on fire for the Lord. You stay close to Him. Amen. If you'll stay close to Him, then the things He loves will be the things you love, and the things He hates will be the things you hate. You must stay close to Him. And so the distance, there. You know, in our home was built in 1963. Half of our home was an afterthought, an addition. I mean, right there on the back porch, the right-hand side of the back porch, you can look at the brick, Brother Houston, and there's a seam that goes right up through there. That tells you that all of that this way was added on. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Get in the shower and you'll find out. Yeah. Amen. What you do, you turn the water on about a minute before you want to get in the shower. Because of the distance, it takes it a while to get warm. Amen. Are you listening to me? I believe, listen, we as God's people, even though we are saved and we are believers, should guard against lukewarmness in our church, guard against lukewarmness in our lives, and stay close to the source. Amen. Stay close to the source of the distance. Produces that. You can take that water up there in that aqueduct. That cold water come out of the Colossae, and up there's the sun. How many's ever stood up against a brick wall after the sun goes down? Have you ever done that? Honey, I tell you what, the sun goes down, that temperature will go down about 70. Sometimes here in East Tennessee, about 65, maybe 62. It was one night this, but you can stand up against that brick wall, honey, and it's just like standing against a heater. because that sun has shined on it all day long. And so that cold water's coming out of there. Amen. And that rock is hot. Even after the sun goes down, that rock is having an effect on that water. And it's warming that water a little bit as it rolls on down towards my friend Laodicea. And the same thing goes with the hot water. At night comes and it cools off. In other words, not only is it the distance that has an effect on the water and on the temperature, but let me give you the second thing, deceit. You say, preacher, why do people cool off? I'll tell you why. They think that their surroundings don't matter. Honey, let me tell you something. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, the people you surround yourself with, the literature you surround yourself with, what you allow to go in your eyes and what you watch, what you listen to, I'm telling you, it'll have an effect. And beloved, if you're not careful, it'll cause you to be lukewarm on God when God wants you to be on fire for Him. Amen. Beloved, there's a deceit concerning our surroundings, thinking that the things we surround ourselves with really won't affect us. That sun, beloved, affected that water. That nightfall affected that water on those hot springs, dropping the temperature in the aqueduct from the water, from the hot springs. Listen, not only deceit concerning our surroundings, but deceit concerning our substance. Let me tell you something right now. Here's what we need to remember. You say, preacher, we've got a nice home. God's blessed us with a nice home. There's nothing wrong with saying that, I don't reckon, but I'll tell you a better way to say it. God's allowed us to live in a nice home. What do you mean, preacher? It's just barred for a little while. Amen. We didn't bring anything into this world. We're not taking anything out. We should not let substance, we should not let the things of this world draw us away from our Savior. Amen. And yet it's a constant battle in this world that we live in. The Bible said here, they said we're rich. They said we're increased with goods. And they said we have need of nothing. I want you to know that's a pitiful, pitiful attitude for anybody to have. Have need of nothing. We need Him today. There was a deceit concerning the Savior. They didn't need Him. They didn't need anything. I want to say we need Him. Let me just make a statement this morning that God gave me. We can be religious without Him, but we can't be regenerated without Him. That's something that this world knows nothing about what I just said. They think everything that's got a steeple on top of it's a church. Honey, it might be called a church, but I tell you what, if Christ is not the foundation, it's really not a church. You might as well just call it a club or a get-together because, beloved, He's the one that does the saving. Notice the counsel to the church of the Laodiceans. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. You remember over there, which church was it? I'm thinking about here at Smyrna. That Jesus said He knew their poverty, but then He said, but you're rich. Here, He knew their poverty, but they thought they were rich. There's a big difference in being rich and thinking you're rich. Amen. The church at Smyrna was rich. The church at Laodicea, they thought they were rich, but in fact, they were poor. We see the council. He said, you need some white raiment. How many knows where that comes from? The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had a wonderful Sunday school lesson not long ago about that, how that's imputed to us. That thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Let me say something to you this morning. Sister Barbara was talking about being convicted of sin. I'll tell you one of the things that goes along with that. A man can be standing fully clothed like I am this morning. When the Holy Ghost came by, I had clothes on much like I do this morning. But when I looked down, I was naked. Say amen. I realized there was a part of me that didn't have any clothes on. Amen. That before Him, He knew all about me. And yet He loved me. Yet He spoke to me. And yet when I responded to Him, He saved me and clothed me in white raiment that night. Here's a church, a group of people that think they're rich and they're beggars. They're naked. He said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, he said, I rebuke and I chasten. Let me give you this morning. We've looked at several things. The church of the Laodiceans, the condition of the church of the Laodiceans, the cause of the condition of the church of the Laodiceans. I want us to look here at the council of the church of the Laodiceans. And lastly, at the cure for the church of the Laodiceans. You say, preacher, you mean there's a cure? They're in bad shape. I know. How many believes there's a balm in Gilead? There's a cure. There's a cure for sin. There's a cure for a church that makes God sick. There's a cure for somebody that's religious but not been regenerated. Religious but lost. There's a cure. Let's look at the cure. The cure, number one, is practical. The fact that they were not experiencing chastisement should have scared them to death. Jesus said, as many as I love. Let me stop and say this. It's not preached much in these days. But honey, let me tell you something right now. There's several things, the good indicators of Bible salvation. Number one is peace. When you have a peace in your heart, thank God there's only one place that peace can come from. The songwriter said, the only real peace I have, dear Lord, is in you. Amen. Number two is love. When you begin to love like you've never loved before, that's an indicator that something has happened in your heart and in your life. But there's also another indicator that's not talked about much. That is when we veer off the path, we start going our own way. This Bible teaches that there's a God in heaven that loves us so much that he'll chasten us, Brother Gale. I want a show of hands. Everybody that knows you've been born again and you've experienced the chastening rod of God in your life, would you raise your hand? Honey, I tell you, the old devil, Brother Rick, he'll jump up there and say, well, if he loved you, this wouldn't be happening. But I tell you, if you'll read your Bible, you'll say, he loves me, and that's why this is happening. He loves me too much to let me go my own way. He loves me too much to let me become lukewarm. My friend, he loves us. The absence of chastisement. The Bible said in Hebrews 12:5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. I remember this. I've got to tell you this. It came back to mind this week. Little Jeremy. I don't know if he had training breeches on or if he was still in diapers. I really don't know, but he was talking good. I do know that. And I know one day he needed some correction. I grabbed him by the shoulder and I popped him on the rear end. And I said, stop it, son. He looked up at me and grinned from ear to ear and said, that didn't hurt. Now, you talk about dumb. I'll tell you what I did. I immediately recalled the days of my childhood. I went out to the end of that porch, that old country house, and I cut three of them switches off that lilac. Now, listen, when we got a little bit older, Dad didn't cut switches. He sent you to cut them. And you better bring some good ones back. Say amen. I cut three little old switches off the back of that lilac. And I tell you what, buddy, I took them to the back of them little legs down there. And when I got done, he wasn't saying that didn't hurt. You'd have thought he is dying. I'd have been put in prison for child abuse in this generation. Amen. But I tell you what I done. We had a gun cabinet in the living room. And I took them three little switches and I hung them off the end of that gun cabinet up there. And after that, I didn't have to pop him. I didn't have to talk to him. I'd just say, son, you want them switches again? Honey, whatever direction he was going in that I thought needed to be changed, changed instantly. At that time, Brother Gale, I'll guarantee you my son didn't have clear signals going on. He was probably thinking about, boy, if my daddy loved me, he wouldn't do this to me. But you go ask my son today. He'll say, thank God I had a daddy that would instruct me, that would correct me. I want to stop this morning in this message and say, thank God I have a Father that won't let me go my own way, but He'll stop me, He'll correct me, He'll chasten me if need be, because He loves me. Let me get back to the text in Hebrews. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. I want you to know, beloved, this Bible's right. And God will chasten His children. I believe the absence of chastisement in Laodicea is a sure sign that, my friend, they're religious. Yes, they're very religious, but they're lost. He wants us to be zealous, the Word of God said here. He told them, don't be fooling around. I believe, listen, we shouldn't delay. If we're not saved, now is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the cause, but Christ is the cure. He's the only one that can cure the sin problem. The cure not only is practical, but the cure is personal. You see, listen. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Listen. As a whole, listen to me carefully. As a whole, this church is not going to get help. As a whole. But Brother Rose, he's so kind that he goes through an individual's. And he knocks at their heart's door. He's drawing them. And he said, I'll knock. Behold, I stand at the door. If any man, it's personal. If any man, when my boy got saved, it was personal. Daddy couldn't get saved for him, and he couldn't get saved for Daddy. I tell you, when people get saved, it's personal. It's one-on-one with the God of heaven. Amen. And they said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. I believe there's a lot going on in our nation and in our world that resembles Laodicea. But God said, if any man, any woman, any boy, any girl would hear my voice and open the door, I'm telling you, I'm glad he deals with individuals. Amen. Amen. I'll come into him. And then the cure is prophetical. He said to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus is telling this group of people here, if there's just one. I tell you, when I got saved that night, it was so real. And I believed that he would have went to that cross just for me. I was rotten to the core. But just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I didn't know what to expect that night. All I really wanted was to escape hell. I knew I was going to hell at a breakneck speed. And I wanted to get out from under the wrath and the judgment of God. But I tell you, Brother Rose, that wasn't even half of the deal. Man, I tell you, I heard a preacher say something when I was lost. And I didn't understand it. I really didn't. He said if there were no heaven and there were no hell, I'd still rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I understand that now. Hallelujah. Life and life abundantly. That's what God gives that individual that will come to him for salvation. The church of the Laodiceans. God help us today. Make sure we don't don't allow that distance. That distance. You know what happens in a lot of marriages? Distance. Am I right or am I wrong? Distance turns into lukewarmness, and lukewarmness turns into coldness. You know what happens in a lot of churches, a lot of believers' lives? Distance. And then that deceit. I'll tell you something right now. There's some things God's people ain't got no business looking at. There's some things God's people ain't got no business listening to. You say, preacher, you preach against the soap operas? Well, I stop calling them that. Soap makes you clean. I call them slop operas. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to tell you, you get involved and overwhelmed in that stuff, and first thing you know, you'll be lukewarm. We need to be careful about them old jokes and stuff that goes on down there at the workplace. If you can't rebuke them in love, at least walk away from them. Amen. We just need to be careful. We need to be careful. We're not better than other people. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I am saying that your surroundings will have an effect. I used to say it like this in prison a lot. The crowd you run with will determine the course that your life takes. Everywhere you go. I said everywhere. As far as I know, there hadn't been any of that went on around here, and I hope it never does. But generally speaking, in a church, there's somebody that's critical. That preacher preaches too long, or they sing too much, or I wish they'd sing more. You know what I'm talking about. Honey, if you get around somebody like that, the best thing you can do is get away from them. First thing you know, they'll drag you down. Amen. You get close to Jesus. I like what it said on a sign down Carter's Valley. It said, if you want a better pastor, pray for the one you got. I like that. Say amen. God knows I want to be a better pastor, a better preacher, a better husband, a better father, a better grandfather. God knows that's the truth. Amen. The church in Laodicea. Let's not deceive ourselves. Let's get a hold of God before we come to church and say, God, we need you. We need you to show up down there by the way. God, we need you. Let's not get self-sufficient. I'm going to tell you something right now. One doctor's visit can knock the self-sufficiency out of you. Amen. Let's not be that way. Let's be humble. Let's tell the Lord often that we need him. Let's tell him often that we love him. Let's tell him often that we want to keep the fire burning. Amen. In the camp. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to open the Bible. The privilege, Lord, to read it, the privilege to preach it. God, it's my prayer this morning that this would be a sound warning to us as believers, to our church. God, I love our church. Lord, I look forward to coming to church. I look forward to meeting the believers, Lord. Whether it's here or outside, anywhere. God, I praise you that you love us. God, I know today that in the world, there are many that are religious, that have never been regenerated. God, it's my prayer that people wouldn't settle for the lukewarmness of religion. When they could have, Lord, a relationship with the Lord of glory. When they could fellowship with him, walk with him, and talk with him. God, I pray today, you'd speak to hearts.